Because years matter. Years carry stories. Years carry memories. They carry moments that we did not plan for, and moments that we wish we could relive. The last Sunday of the year is a strange place to stand. We're not fully in the past anymore, but we are not yet in the future either. We stand in between, looking back, looking ahead, and trying to make sense of where God has been in the middle of it all. And some of us come to this moment grateful, some come weary, and some come relieved that the year is ending, and some come anxious about what the next year might bring for us. But I come with good news today, that God meets us at this point, right here in the middle of the old year and the new year. In this place of transition, God meets us. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to 7, Moses speaks to the people of Israel as they stand at the edge of the promised land. Behind them is the wilderness, and ahead of them is the future that they had never known. And Moses says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness." Before the people start to move forward, they are commanded to look back. Not to romanticize the past, not to deny the hardship, not to remember the moments of hunger, but to remember, because memory shapes faith. This past year, 2025, has been a wilderness year for some of us, a year of uncertainty, a year of change, a year where prayers were answered differently than what we hoped, or maybe not even answered at all. And others experienced growth this year, as new beginnings, healing, unexpected joy. But whether this last year felt heavy or hopeful, Scripture reminds us that God does not waste any part of our journey. That the wilderness was not a mistake, it was a classroom. And the lessons was not about self-sufficiency, but it was dependence on Him. That before we rush towards what's next, we must be honest about what was. The year held celebrations and losses. It held beginnings and it held endings. It held moments that strengthened our faith and moments that tested it, even as a pastoral couple. And that some of you stayed right where you were and found that staying required courage. And for many of us, this year was not one clear emotion, but a mixture of many different emotions. Joy laced with grief, hope mingled with exhaustion, faith accompanied by doubt. But church, the psalmist prays in Psalm 90, verse 12, he says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." To number our days does not mean counting them with anxiety, it means paying attention to them. That wisdom grows where we are willing to ask for it. What has this year taught you about God? What has it revealed about yourself? Where did you resist grace? And where did you receive grace? See, Scripture calls us to gratitude, but never to denial. True gratitude does not pretend the year was easy, but it acknowledges that God was faithful even when the year was not easy. The Israelites were told to remember both the hunger and the manna, the struggle and the provision. And as this year ends, we give thanks not because everything went according to plan, but because God was present. And boy, was He present here. Present in hospital rooms, present in ordinary mornings, present in quiet prayers whispered, even when we found it hard to find the words to pray. That gratitude becomes powerful when it is honest, and honest gratitude sounds like this: God, I didn't understand everything, but You were there with me. God, I was stretched, but You did not abandon me. God, I'm still here, and that is Your grace, God. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 3, verse 13, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Church, this is not a call to erase memory, but it's a call to release what no longer gives us life. And some things must not follow us into 2026, into this new year. Unresolved bitternesses, old shame that God has long time forgotten and forgiven. Expectations rooted in fear rather than rooted in faith. And some of us are still carrying the weight of past failures, replaying conversations, decisions, or seasons that we wish we could change. But the gospel does not ask us to drag yesterday's chains into tomorrow's freedom. That letting go is not forgetting, but it is trusting God with that which we are unable to fix ourselves. And sometimes the holiest thing that we can do at the end of the year is to say, God, I release this into Your hands. I take my hands off it and I release it into Your hands. While some things must be released, other things must be carried. Wisdom is earned through hardship. Compassion grows through pain. And faith is redefined by endurance. We do not enter the new year empty-handed, church, but we carry testimony of this past year individually and corporately. Even the wounds that we experienced, and every single one of us has experienced wounds, this very church has experienced wounds. But those wounds have become teachers. Paul does not say, I've arrived. He says, I press on. That faith is not about perfection, it's about direction. And as this year ends, the question is not, did I do everything right? But the question is, am I still following Christ? I believe that God is already in the year ahead of us. Revelation 21 verse 5 gives us a vision, not just of the end of all things, but of God's ultimate direction. God says, behold, I am making all things new. Not I was someday, but I am. That God is already at work in the year that we have not yet lived, and always present in the unknown conversations, already present in the challenges that we cannot predict, already present in the grace that we will need and the joy that we cannot yet even imagine. And we do not walk into this new year alone. That the same God who was faithful yesterday will be faithful tomorrow and the day after and the day after. But yes, I acknowledge that standing at the edge of a new year often awakens fear within us. Fear of repeating mistakes, fear of loss, fear of uncertainty. But I want to remind you, church, that fear is the opposite of faith. It's fear or faith. There's no gray area. God does not promise us a year without trouble, but God promises to be present within it. That the future does not belong to chaos, it belongs to God. And because of that, hope is not naive, but it is grounded. Paul reminds us that faith is a journey that is still unfolding. That we are always becoming, we are always learning, that we are always being shaped by Him. that God is not finished with us yet. Not finished with this church. Not finished with your story. Not finished with his work of healing and restoration. This last Sunday of this year is not a finish line, but it is a checkpoint. A moment for us to pause, to breathe, to rest, to realign. As we prepare to step into 2026, Scripture does not give us a detailed map, but it gives us a posture to walk humbly, to love deeply, to trust faithfully, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. The goal of a new year is not a better version of ourselves, but it is a deeper surrender to Christ. And as 2025 closes, I want us to hear this truth clearly today. That we are not defined by our worst moments. That we're not limited by our unfinished plans. That we are not alone at this threshold today. That God has been with you. That God is with you right now. Right now, he's with us. Right here, his presence is here. And God will go with you into what comes next. And so we stand here, grateful, honest, and hopeful. I want us to stand up and just to pray this with confidence and with trust. Can we do that? I'll lead it, you can repeat after me. Lord, into your hands we place what has been.
We place what has been.
Into your hands,
into your hands
we place what will be.
You place what will be.
You teach us to number our days,
that we may live them
in your grace.
In your grace.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Trust you'll have a wonderful, wonderful new year. As far as Janet and I go, we ain't going nowhere. You see, the devil likes to pick scraps with Janet and I. He hasn't learned the lesson yet that he's wasting his time. You know, for 30-something years, he's tried to scrap with us, and we've always liked to give him a little bit of a holy slap and see him fleeing, but he hasn't learned yet. So he can pull his tricks this coming year, but this church will continue to be a strong foundation, because this is not our church, this is not our fight, this is not our battle. This is the church of Jesus, and he will fight the battle here. And because we are his children, he will fight the battle for us. So we need to just take our hands off and stop the control. And I pray that every single one of us will find freedom in this new year. The freedom of Jesus Christ in our walk. That the things that hold us and still try and ensnare us, that they will break. And that we will surrender afresh to Jesus and say, we're not walking without you, we're done with that, that's old posture, but we're walking with you. I say it every year, and I'm going to say it again, even after this year, I'm going to stand here in faith as the pastor of this church and say that Lord, this year, that your promise will be fulfilled, that this church is filled this year right to the back. But I'm going to go a step further. And I'm not saying with new believers, with believers that are believers and have been believers for years, but for new souls, right off this hot soil of Micklefield. And I declare that, and I pray that you believe that with me. Thank you, Lynn. Amen.